For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Eternal Life, as we pick up in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Shall we turn now to 2 Timothy? This is the last epistle that Paul wrote. He is again in prison in Rome. It would seem that he was released from the first imprisonment and allowed a little more time of liberty to preach the gospel. And putting together from the various epistles and from the book of Acts, it would seem that he went to Miletus and then on over to Corinth and to Troas, probably to Ephesus, and then on back where he was arrested and taken back to Rome. Paul realizes that the situation has now changed in Rome. He realizes that the sentence of death is upon him. He knows that his time is very short, that he will soon be executed by Nero for his faith in Jesus Christ. And so, realizing that his execution is only a matter of time, Paul writes his final letter to Timothy, his son in the faith, this young man that Paul had discipled and spent so much time with, to invest in Timothy's life so that he could carry on the work of Paul once he was gone. So Paul now is writing his final epistle. This is the last of Paul's epistles. Shortly after this, he was beheaded there on the Appian Way just outside of Rome. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. You see, the sentence of death is now hanging on him. So what's he talk about? Life in Christ Jesus, that eternal life. Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who can kill your body, and after that they don't have any power. And so as Paul is writing with the sentence of death upon him, knowing that his execution is only a matter of time, it is interesting how he writes about life. I'm an apostle by the will of God, according to the promise of life, not of death, but of life, which is in Christ Jesus. John tells us, this is the record. God has given to us eternal life, and that life is in the Son, and he who has the Son has life, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank God, even with the sentence of death hanging over us, we can talk about life, that eternal life, that age-abiding life that we have in Christ Jesus. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and fell there at his feet, he said, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit this age-abiding life? He saw in Christ that quality of life, and he desired it. That quality of life that is ours through our faith in Jesus Christ. He who has the Son has life. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Notice the endearing terms of Paul now towards Timothy as he realizes this is probably the last time I'm going to be able to write to him, my dearly beloved son. And so there's a lot of emotion, a lot of pathos in this second letter to Timothy because of the background of this whole epistle. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. These beautiful gifts of God, His grace, His mercy, His peace. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day. The men that God uses are men of prayer. Paul is constantly in his epistles referring to his prayer life. He was a man who lived and slept and breathed prayer. He lived in close relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. And so is the case with those men that God uses. They are men of prayer. And here Paul speaks about his praying for Timothy without ceasing night and day. Because Paul realized that if the ministry of the word was to be carried on in truth, really the heavy burden was going to be upon Timothy once Paul left. When Paul sent Timothy to the church in Philippi, he said, I have sent unto you my beloved son Timothy because I don't have anyone else who is like-minded as I am, who really has you at his heart. Timothy was one that had really modeled his life after Paul. Paul could see, hey, this young man has caught the vision. This young man knows my heart. And so he realized that Timothy was going to be the natural one to carry on that same ministry of the grace of God to the people. And that is no doubt why Paul invested so much time in prayer for Timothy. Night and day, oh Lord, he's a young man. Lord, he doesn't have the background and the experience, but God, use him, help him, bless him, Lord. Oh, wouldn't you love to have Paul praying for you night and day? Paul said, I greatly desire to see you because I remember your tears. No doubt the last time Paul had seen Timothy there at Ephesus and had to leave him, Timothy was crying, probably wanted to go with Paul. Paul, they believe, was arrested in Ephesus at this time when the Roman government began to persecute the church again. And probably as they bound Paul to take him back to Rome, as he said his farewell to Timothy, Timothy was just weeping and sobbing. And yet it was necessary that he say and establish those brethren in the church of Ephesus which were being harassed by the false teachers that had come in. And so Timothy weeping, and Paul had vividly in his mind this beloved co-laborer, his son in the Lord. He had in his mind the tears as they were coming down Timothy's face. And he said, oh, I greatly desire to see you. I remember your tears. And I'd love to see you that I might be filled with joy. What a beautiful bond is created through Jesus Christ among men and among women. This family of God, it exceeds even our natural families. The bond that God creates in our hearts and in our lives for each other, that love that is there. Paul said, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith or the pure faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is also in you. So he came from a good line. You know, a godly heritage, what a blessing it is. What a blessing to have a godly grandmother. What a blessing to have a godly mother. The faith that was in my grandmother, the faith that was in my mother, the faith that God has planted in my heart. You know, it's an interesting thing. My grandmother was a very special woman. She lived in Santa Barbara. And the pastor that came to the church there was just a young man. He wasn't married yet. And so she used to go with him on his calls so that there would be no questions in the minds of people if he called on some of the young wives or whatever. My grandmother was always with him and made his calls with him. She lived a life dedicated to the Lord, to serve the Lord. That was her, the whole passion of her life was to serve the Lord. When she was in the hospital dying of cancer, they were short of nurses. And so she would get up and go around and take bedpans to people took care of them and waited on people there in the hospital because that was her life, just service. It was a life of service to God and a trust in God. I recently found out that inscribed on her tombstone are the words, "Jesus never fails." And that was just the story of her life. It was a life of faith in the Lord. And so the family members, because that was just was sort of the hallmark of her life, Jesus never fails, they put that on her tombstone. I didn't know that. But over in Fairhaven here in Santa Ana, on my mother's tombstone, we have placed Jesus never fails. Because the faith that was in my grandmother was passed on to my mother. And I could remember from a child. My younger brother had asthma. And when he would have his attacks and start wheezing, couldn't sleep, we had an old rocking chair that creaked. And as a little child, I can remember lying in bed, hearing my brother wheeze, you know, that asthmatic wheeze, that, you know, that it has a unique sound to it. And I could hear that. I could hear the creaking rocking chair out in the other room. And I could hear my mother singing, "Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails." And I would go to sleep hearing her rock my brother during his asthmatic attacks, singing of the unfailing grace of Jesus Christ. Whenever we were sick, she would come in and sing to us, "Jesus never fails." My brother was healed of asthma. The Lord didn't fail. And all through our life, the Lord has taken care of us. The Lord didn't fail. And so because this was so much a part of her life, without knowing it was on my grandmother's tombstone, we had it put on her tombstone over here in Santa Ana. And so there in the cemetery in Montecito, you'll find the gravestone of my grandmother that says, "Jesus never fails." You over here in Fairhaven, you'll find my mother's gravestone that says, "Jesus never fails." The faith that came from my grandmother to my mother now passed on to us. And we, of course, passing it on to our sons. And now they to their sons and grandchildren and all. Oh, how glorious it is. The heritage that is ours in the Lord and in the things of the Spirit. And it's just a beautiful thing. Paul said, I know the faith that was in your grandmother, Lois, and also in your mother, Eunice, and I know that it's in you. Oh, the greatest thing that we can offer and give to our children is this heritage of trusting God and faith. How important that we pass it on. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God that is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, Paul has a couple of times already made reference to this. When Timothy was a young man and began to join Paul in the ministry there in Lystra, the elders laid hands on Timothy and prayed for him. And as they did, the Lord gave to Paul a word of prophecy. in which the Lord spoke to Timothy, telling him the gifts that the Lord was giving to him and outlining somewhat the ministry that Timothy was to fulfill. And Paul has made mention before of this experience that Timothy had when the elders laid hands on him and he received the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the word of prophecy directing his life and his ministry. And so Paul said, remember and stir up the gift that is in you, that you received when the hands were laid upon you and the gift of prophecy exercised. It is possible for us to neglect the gifts of God within our lives. But God did not give us these gifts to be neglected. He gave us these gifts to be used. And so Paul's exhortation to Timothy, stir up that gift that is in you. Begin to exercise it again by faith. Begin to exercise again that gift of the Spirit that God has given unto you. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, evidently, Timothy became a little fearful in the exercise of this gift. And I think that that is a tool that Satan often uses to discourage our exercises of the gifts of the Spirit. Fear. I don't know what people are going to think, you know, if I say that to them. You know, and we have this fear that many times restricts us from the exercise of this. But God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The spirit of power, oh, thank God. The spirit of love, how important, and a sound mind. So be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now there are a lot of situations where we can just keep our mouths shut and stay out of trouble, when we really ought to be opening our mouths and getting into trouble. You know, when people are saying blasphemous things, we can just keep our mouths shut and sort of shrug and say, oh, you know, poor, stupid soul. Or we can say to them, do you realize what you are saying? What a filthy mouth you have. Doesn't it bother you to have such a filthy mind and mouth? I've often said to people when they're using the name of Jesus in a blasphemous way, hey, that hurts me. You're talking about a man who I love more than anyone else, who died to save me from my sins. And it hurts me to hear you talk about him that way. Hey, you know, they sometimes get upset and they, you know, look like, who do you think you are, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But yet, Paul tells Timothy that God has given us the power of, the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Therefore, don't be ashamed of our Lord, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. We'll get to it a little bit. They who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The script, the promise in the Bible that I hate the most. Power of God who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So God who called us and saved us, but it wasn't according to our works. We are not saved according to our works, but according to the purposes of God. Now this was the message that Paul was proclaiming and the message that was being perverted by the legalism that was creeping into the church. Now remember, that Timothy was ministering there in Ephesus, to the church in Ephesus. And already there were those seeds of legalism that had taken root and were beginning to turn the people away from the glorious gospel of grace that Paul had proclaimed. And Paul speaks to Timothy of his concern that they were turning away from the grace of God, and for him to establish them in the grace of God. A few years later, Jesus wrote a letter to Ephesus, and all was not well within the church. In fact, Jesus called the church of Ephesus to repentance. And he said, unless you repent, I will remove my presence from you. They had come to the place where their whole religion was a works thing. Because the Lord said, I know thy works, thy labor, and so forth, and thy works. They had come to a legal relationship with the Lord. They had come to a salvation based upon works. Who saved us and called us, Paul said, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, the result of a legal relationship to the Lord is really the loss of relationship, because Jesus doesn't want a legal relationship with you. He desires a loving relationship with you. He wants you to relate to him in love. And so he said to Ephesus, you've left your first love. You've got all these works, man. You've got this whole thing going, all kinds of works. But I have this against you because you've left your first love. I don't want a legal relationship with you. I want a loving relationship with you. And tonight, Jesus is looking for a loving relationship with you.
Designed for the student of God's Word, the New Testament study guide from the Word for Today is a valuable companion to your Bible. In this helpful resource, Pastor Chuck Smith provides a clear, verse-by-verse overview of the New Testament, designed to help you understand and study the Bible more effectively. Studying alongside your Bible, you'll discover keywords that clarify important Greek terms, excerpts from the Calvary Chapel distinctives, and Bible maps, charts, and diagrams that help bring the text to life. You'll also find thoughtful study questions for every book of the New Testament, making this guide ideal for personal study, small groups, or anyone who wants to grow deeper in God's Word. Strengthen your understanding of the Scripture and grow in your walk with Christ. Order the New Testament Study Guide today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. The New Testament Study Guide, helping you know God's Word and live it. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you this week. May he watch over your lives and keep you in his love. May you abound in the love of Jesus Christ. May there just be that rich flowing forth in and from your life as God works in you his perfect work of love and grace. May God grant that you have just a special week of enjoying the goodness and the fullness of God and his love. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 2 Timothy on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 2 Timothy 1. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.